brought here.
Join me now in the prayer of illumination. Eternal God, your Spirit inspired those who wrote the Bible and enlightens us to hear your word fresh each day. Help us to rely always on your promises in Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked,
Не все эти люди, которые говорят галилеяне,
No son галилеяне estos que están hablando.
Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Now, then, how is it that each of us hears them in his own language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, in the parts of Libya, near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, simultaneously in Russian, Spanish, and Chinese, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues.
Мы слышим, как они объявляют чудеса Бога на наших языках.
¿Qué quiere decir esto?
Yo sí mismo.
What does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said,
Они выпили слишком много вина.
Lo que pasa es que están borrachos.
Toma vodka, sinjo, guamala.
They have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd.
Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this was what's spoken by the prophet Joel.
In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Amen. Can we give a round of applause to our speakers? Let us pray. God of the Holy Spirit, you have given us a gift today that enlivens our souls, that fills our bodies with energy to serve you in all that we do. Lord, may we continue to stay connected to that spirit that finds you in the midst of dry places in our lives to strengthen us to serve you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. In the beginning, The earth was a formless void. Everybody repeat after me. Tohu vavohu. Tohu vavohu. You just spoke old ancient Hebrew, which means formless void. The darkness, and Genesis continues, the darkness covered the face of the waters. Before God created, two things existed: darkness and water. Think about Jaws. How many of y'all seen Jaws in here? Y'all have all seen Jaws, right? The very beginning of Jaws, the young lady who, you know, that's certainly not a PG scene, runs into the water, and it's dark. And she's in the water in the ocean right before dawn. And I personally can't think of two things scarier than being in deep water in the darkness. You have no foothold, no way of determining where you are. And it sounds a lot like when we get into depression as well. No foothold, nowhere to turn, adrift. And the Bible articulates this condition as chaos. Before God brought order, there was chaos, darkness, and deep water. So it was into the scary, uncreated situation that God brought the Spirit, here in Hebrew called Ruach, Ruach, the breath of God, to hover over the waters, to bring life out of chaos, love out of fear. This is what we are celebrating today at Pentecost, the gift of God's Spirit. The Spirit takes a formless void, a hunk of Play-Doh, and shapes it into this colorful, overwhelming, beautiful, natural world that we see today. And we've had some really nice days recently to see it. The Spirit surrounds us in our darkest moments to bring new light in ways never dreamed. And this Spirit fills us with life, breaks us free of our selfishness to serve as Jesus served us. And the Spirit that rushed through the locked house of the disciples to launch Christianity into the world, it is the same Spirit that is the air in our lungs that makes it possible for the power for the blood to pump through our veins, that shot of caffeine in the morning to get us moving, kicking us into gear to follow the path of Christ. Everybody repeat out after me. Without it, we are nothing. With it, all things are possible. So if the Spirit that I am talking about gives you power, fills your lives, makes it possible for you to live a life of faith, gives you the energy you need to get through the day, if we have that all around us, can always have access to it, why aren't we on fire all the time, passionately serving and giving to our community? How can something be so present and yet so distant at the same time? What is preventing us from accessing the breath of life? I think I've told y'all this story before, but it's been a while. I went water skiing when I was serving my last church, which was an interesting decision on my part. I had never been water skiing before, and they thought, "Great, you could do this." I said, "Great, okay." And we went out. I got the skis on my feet and jumped into the water, and they said, "Okay, we're gonna hit it." And he hit it, and I busted my face immediately. And then I did it again and again. We did about 20 runs where I was trying to get up and failing every time, and embarrassingly so. And I was starting to get hurt. My face was starting to really feel the power of water when it hits you at a high velocity. right? So we stopped, we took a break. We said, okay, let's take a break. Let's have some lunch. And we're gonna let you go about that. But I'm gonna give you some advice. This is my congregation member said to me. They said, Gray, stop fighting it. Let the boat do all the work. What I had been trying to do was stand up on my own. You have to have this weird position where you get your knees bent, you sit back in the water. And I was trying to force myself up so that I was ready to be up and get in the boat pulling me. They said, Gray, let the boat do all the work. And so the next time out, sat down there, and I just did nothing. And daggone, if they were not right, that boat pulled me right up. And I went water skiing for 20 minutes, did not fall. Now, after that, my arms, I could not feel my arms for the whole next of the rest of the day. But I got up. And I realized that I had been trying to control this very powerful boat that was pushing me, that was pulling me, when I just needed to let that take over. And so I wonder what that means for our lives. Because we oftentimes will try to tame God's Spirit, just like I was trying to tame the power of that boat, that I could control it. Stop it from ruining my sense of control, the things that I don't want to give up. So we close our eyes to the opportunities the Spirit is offering us right before our very eyes. We distract ourselves with busy schedules, pointless hobbies. We fight against God's gift of the Spirit, closing ourselves off from its effect. One of my favorite soul singers is Sam Cooke. And he has this wonderful live album called Live at Harlem. It's wonderful. And it's one of the best live albums ever if you're ever interested in soul singers. And this guy's great. But right before he sings one of his songs, he tells his audience, who is just on fire for this concert. They're just loving, they're dancing, they're having the best time. And he says, all right, for this song, don't fight it, feel it. Don't fight it, feel it. Everybody say that. Don't fight it, feel it. This is what we need to do with the Holy Spirit. Feel it bringing into our lives new life into these tired bones. Feel it pushing us out of the malaise of the grind of our lives, feeling it working to make us serve God with whatever gifts and skills we have to offer, no matter your age. Don't fight it. Feel it. Because we get caught up in all the things we can't do or the things that we're too busy to do. Don't fight it. Feel it. Take that opportunity that God is presenting you right in front of your face, right there, and do something about it. Open your eyes to it being around you. Now, I say all of this to get to my prime example for the day that I will close with, and all of this brings me to the kids' movie Trolls. Yes, I said Trolls. It is hard to believe that those cheap plastic toys with wild colored hair would still be relevant in 2017, yet somehow these animators created something incredible. So be aware that if you haven't seen this movie, this is a giant spoiler alert. So just be aware. The trolls at the end of the movie are all being put into a big pot. And they're about to be rolled into a room full of hungry monsters called Bergens. All right? And the Bergens and the trolls used to live in harmony, but now the Bergens decided that they need to eat the trolls because the trolls are the only thing that makes them happy. It's the only thing. They need to eat trolls. Right? The trolls have given up hope. They're in this pot. There's no way out. And they are now all officially depressed. And you know that they're depressed because all the wonderful color that they had on them has now faded into lame shades of gray. They have grayed over. All that remains for them is darkness. But just when you think the Trolls movie is going to end with all the trolls getting eaten, a voice emerges out of the darkness. Branch, a troll that is voiced by the wonderful Justin Timberlake, who up to this point has been nothing but a negative Nancy. He has been negative about everything in life. He starts to sing a song. And this song revives in the trolls their true colors, restores their spirits and hopes. And this moment for me is what it's all about, the unseen power of God working amongst us, breathing life into the dark, watery chaos that threatens to ruin us. And it points us to trust in a God who makes all things possible. So let's watch True Colors from the Trolls. Go ahead, Roger. It's a little dark, so we'll try to see if you see it.
Sad eyes. Don't be discouraged. To take courage in a world full of people, you can lose sight of it all. The darkness inside you can make you feel so small.
She's a Bergen, but she's a good
one. What are you doing? The king is waiting. Get those trolls up there.
Sorry, Chef.
Oh, you are sorry.
Show me a smile, then. Don't be unhappy. Can't remember when last saw you laughing. This world makes you crazy, and you've taken all you can bear. Just call me up, 'cause I will always be there. And I see your true color shining through. I see your true color.
Rainbow. Oh, like a rainbow.
No, thank you.
For what?
We could just finish that movie, couldn't we? What I didn't tell you was that Branch, through the whole movie, had been grayed over. He was not a colorful troll. And it wasn't until this moment that he also was able to feel his true color, feel the spirit filling him back up with who he truly was. So I'm asking you all today that may you too also be open to the Holy Spirit working in your lives. Even when the darkness seems to cover us, the Spirit is working to reveal to you your true colors. The Spirit, the part of you that God has made special, that God is using to serve this world and to change this world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.